We're going to turn back to Galatians for today. The title for today is going to be The Danger of Counterfeit Christianity. Now, this is a subject that we might think applies to cults and some fringe groups out there that have weird doctrines. But the fact of the matter is, counterfeit Christianity is everywhere. In fact, I would dare say probably every single one of us, to a greater or lesser degree, have walked through seasons wherein we were living in and practicing counterfeit Christianity. If you look at the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, are we not reading about a group of churches that were living in counterfeit Christianity? What do we think another gospel is? Another gospel is a counterfeit gospel. It's a Christianity that is being passed off as the real thing, but in fact is a counterfeit. And people can live in that sort of thing for decades, their whole life, and never recognize what is happening to them. This is what the danger was for the churches in Galatia. It was the danger for the churches in Corinth and a couple of others. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, I think that the core of this is found in Galatians 1, verse 4, coupled up with the scripture that we were looking at recently, Galatians 2, 20. In Galatians 1, in verse 4, it says there about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins in order that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now, how does God deliver us from this present evil world? Well, we might think that that's talking about the rapture or something like that, where we're taken out of the world, but many of us know the scriptures in the New Testament, which tell us that even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. And so something has to happen to the believer whereby they are no longer of the world, even though we do remain here and have to go about business here. And there are numerous scriptures like that. Now, we're not talking here about the necessity of forming a commune and cutting ourselves off from the evil world. That is not what Paul is getting at here. He is saying that we are to be delivered from this present evil world by the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. In other words, the redemption. And so what that tells us is, when Paul talks about delivering us from this present evil world, he's talking about being delivered from the Adam race, about being delivered from our Adam man. If I lived in a commune and we practiced holy rituals every minute of every day, but I'm still living in the flesh, if I'm still in Adam rather than in Christ, how many understand that I haven't been delivered from anything? In fact, I'm probably in all the deeper because I'm practicing all these things, trying to do for myself what only Jesus has already done. No, the only way to be delivered from this present evil world is the way Paul said we would be delivered and the way he said believers are delivered in Galatians 2:20. I'm delivered from the Adam race and consequently from the world that is governed by the Adam race, by being crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that experience is evidence that I am no longer a member of the Adam race. And I have been delivered out of this evil world, out of this evil creation. And we could read a few other scriptures. There's 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And really, the Greeks said, old things are passed over. All things have become new, and all things are out from God. And the bottom line there is that the Adam man, the old creation, is set aside by the cross as it pertains to the new creation in Christ Jesus. All that's in the new creation in Christ Jesus, which is the resurrection union of our spirit with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, all that is within that new creation is of God, and none of it is of us. There's nothing of us. There's nothing of the old things that contribute to that. They are passed over, as I said. And all that is in the new creation is of Christ united with our human spirit. Now, that's a separation right there between soul and spirit. That's a separation between the old and new, wrought by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you have been seated with Him in the heavenlies. If you are in Christ, you are a different kind of human being than ever existed before Jesus. If you are in Christ, you are no longer a member of the Adam race. Now, even though we are deceived on this point, and even though we don't act like it, because we need to have our minds renewed, we need to see the truth, we need to lose and renounce that old life in practical, experiential ways, even though all of that needs to be worked out, if you are in Christ, you have been delivered in Him from this present evil world. Now, note that I emphasized in Him. And I've gone over this before in a prior message, this necessity of seeing that everything God has to give humanity, everything God has done for humanity, are not things that God had Christ do for us and now He hands to us. No, all of them are in. They are aspects and dimension that are built in, if I can put it that way, into the very person of Jesus Christ, now that He has completed this work. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but how many understand that if you are in Christ, you have to be crucified with Him? Because that dynamic of His death on the cross, He carries. And so if you're united with Him in His death through this union, then what's going to begin to happen is you're going to be crucified with Him. You're going to be brought into conformity with what He has done. And because Christ was raised, it doesn't mean that God hands us a thing called resurrection life. No, we're united with Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, and therefore we are raised in Him and can experience those realities. And so, to put it in the quick version, you and I can experience nothing that is of God. You and I can receive nothing that God has to give, except we experience His Son. And to the extent that we come into an inward realization and experience of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we will come into a realization and experience of that which He has done and that which He presently is. So you want to experience Christ, you're going to experience Christ crucified, you're going to be crucified with Him. You want to experience resurrection life, you've got to experience the one who said, I am the resurrection. And on could go the list. That's why Jesus continually in the Gospel of John said, I am. Not I'm going to give you a thing. No, I am. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. And so we've got to get that established. We've got to get it established that the way in which we are delivered from this present evil age, and that's the Greek word for world there in Galatians 1:4. It's the present evil age. The way in which we are delivered from the present evil age is by being delivered from the Adam race and to be delivered to Jesus Christ becoming a person who is in Christ, a person who is a new creation by virtue of our spiritual resurrection union with Him. Now that's what Jesus accomplished. And when we came to Christ, God planted us in Him and joined us to the Lord, and we became one spirit with Him. Now the Christian life is a matter of discovering Jesus, as I noted, so that we may come into these realities by experience. We've already been crucified with Christ in the sense that it is finished. But as we carry our cross, we come into the experience and meaning of it all. And the same goes for the resurrection. Now, talked about the danger and deception of counterfeit Christianity. The most common counterfeit Christianity, in fact, I would dare say that the counterfeit, which in the end governs all deception, governs all heresy, governs all counterfeits, the number one counterfeit is right on this point. It is a denial that we must be crucified with Christ and lose ourselves to Him, and that Christianity, the real thing, is a matter of a new creation. What has counterfeited for that is the Adam race being passed off as the new man in Christ. What counterfeits for that is a Christianity wherein we are not really crucified with Christ. We might use the words, but it doesn't really happen. It's a Christianity wherein we don't lose our life in order to find Him as our life. Instead, what these counterfeit Christianities provide is a Christianity which keeps our old nature and our old man intact by propping him up with religion, with legalism such as Galatians, propped up with self-help, propped up with finding our true value to God, propped up with all of these systems whereby Christians are told they can build character, propped up with all this religious nonsense whereby Christians are told they're going to look like Jesus and so forth. In other words, if you put them side by side, true Christianity is a matter of the believer being joined to the Lord and made one spirit with Him and losing their life completely in the cross down into the grave and being raised with Christ as a new creation and living the Christian life on that basis. That's true Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity is a matter of the believer not being crucified with Christ in any practical, experiential way. The doctrine will be there, surely, it has to be. But the believer is not crucified with Christ. The believer remains in Adam and tries to live the Christian life on the basis of self-righteousness, self-value, self-improvement, tries to live the Christian life on the basis of religion. Any form will do as a counterfeit. Now, how many see that that counterfeit, that's the overall governing counterfeit that we have seen in this age, has really governed Christianity for the last 2,000 years? Counterfeit Christianity. And so when Paul says that Jesus gave Himself for our sins, this would be death and resurrection, so that He might deliver us from this present evil age, that doesn't become real. We don't believe. Now, we would never say this. You know how deception works. Very often, the pattern in deception is that you do have all of the written, stated Christian doctrines. Now, some of those could be horribly wrong. We know that. Heresies out there. But in so many cases, the characteristic of heresy is that Christian doctrine is stated correctly, but the meanings that are poured into those doctrines are not the mind of God. So in other words, when it says that Jesus delivered us from this present evil world, a lot of people would say, yeah, we're forgiven. And that's all the meaning they attach to that. Or we are delivered from this present evil world. That's meant to mean, well, yeah, we're saved. And we're going to heaven someday. And that sets us apart. And in that sense, we're delivered from the present evil world. And when the Bible says we are crucified with Christ, that's meant to mean that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we're forgiven. And so if we're crucified with him, we're forgiven. And none of it becomes experiential. None of it brings the Christian into contact with the living Christ. It's just like the very definition of Christianity, which I've said many times, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ our life. That is meant to mean simply that we're saved. It's meant to mean that in many cases, it's meant to mean that we're legally saved. Do most of us recognize that the reformers, the Calvinists, the reformers, had no concept whatsoever of Christ in you? They believed that legally speaking, if you put your faith in Christ, God accrued Christ's righteousness to you. And to them, that was the fullness of justification by faith. Now, that is true as far as it goes. It is the legal truth of the matter. But is that what this Christian life is supposed to be? A legal standing before God? That we're legally forgiven? And that's it? How does that result in a new life? How does that result in freedom from sin? How does that result in coming into an inward realization of Jesus Christ? Well, it doesn't. So yeah, God Almighty, if we put our faith in Christ, he says, yep, your sin has already been imputed to my son, and I'm imputing legally his righteousness unto you. That much is true. But God does more. He doesn't just impute to us the righteousness of Christ. He imputes to us Christ himself. He imparts to us Christ himself. And when he does that, Christ is our righteousness. I'm not talking about legalities here. I'm talking about something that is living. It's what Christianity is. It is the living Christ being united with his people in spirit, in resurrection union. And that's Christianity. And from there, everything else stems. All things are out from God, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5. But you see, if you pour different meanings into Bible truth, then what you end up with is a different Christianity, a counterfeit Christianity. How many understand that the Galatian church, about which we have been reading, if you would have walked into those churches before Paul wrote these letters, guarantee you they would have said they are dedicated, devoted Christians whose faith is in Christ. I know that for a fact, because I was in a church when I was very, very young that basically was a clone of the Galatian churches. Legalism like you wouldn't believe. Elements of Old Testament Judaism. And just law, 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 law. And it was all gathered up and presented as Christianity. And we thought that we had what almost no one else had. And boy, were we proud of ourselves. I sure was proud of myself. And all of it was deception. In chapter 3, verse 1, note what Paul writes to these Galatians who are under this deception. We already know the harsh words he spoke in chapter 1, that they're under another gospel. He says to them in Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word there is mesmerize in the Greek, from which we get the word mesmerize in the Greek. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth as crucified among you. In other words, they knew, and they were in an experience with Christ, of being crucified with Christ. He asked them, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then verse 3, which is really a revealing question, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made mature or complete by the flesh? How many see that in context, Paul is saying, having been saved by grace through faith, by the Spirit, by the hearing of faith, he said they received the Spirit. Having begun that way and been saved, are you now trying to build character? Are you now trying to become mature in Christ by works? And he says, by the flesh. How many understand legalism is a work of the flesh? Absolutely it is. Because you're trying to do by the means of yourself what Jesus has already accomplished. And so this was his rhetorical questions to them, to bring out the great counterfeit Christianity under which they were now living. And if you center in on that word, mesmerize or bewitched, it tells you a lot about how this stuff happens. Now, obviously, Satan is the father of all lies. He is the deceiver, so he's behind this. But there is material and there is access that we provide through unbelief. And if we do that, if we allow ourselves to fall in love with self-righteousness, if we want to save our lives for ourselves and think that God will help us do it religiously, then we're going to open ourselves for deception that is based on saving our lives for ourselves. In other words, if we save our lives for ourselves, we sidestep the cross, we're going to have a counterfeit Christianity where the Adam man is alive and well. It just will go with the package. And what will happen then is that our minds will be renewed, if I can put it this way, backwards. In other words, the right way to say it would be, instead of our minds being renewed according to the truth, according to Christ, our minds will be degraded by error and lies into an altered state wherein we actually become one with our error. And as I noted, was the case in the church I was in, we will think we are the apple of God's eye, and that we have the truth and nobody else does, and that we are greatly blessed of God. And the whole thing will be a deception. There are people everywhere like this. Now, here's the thing we really need to understand about all that. It doesn't matter if you and I are the very expression of Jesus Christ, if I can put it that way. It doesn't matter if every word that comes out of our mouth is the truth. It doesn't matter if we're actually walking in, so to speak, true Christianity. If we take all of that and make it about us, derive a pride and self-righteousness, then we are deceived. And we need to see that. How much more we're deceived if we're living in error. Paul said it right there in Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ. I think I said it last message when I talked about this verse. Yet not I, but Christ. If you want to go on with Jesus Christ, if you want to experience Him, then there is no other possible outcome than you be crucified with Christ and come to the place where your life proclaims, yet not I, but Christ. This is not me, it's Him. And it's not just a cliche. It's not just something that we we walk around parroting because we think that it's holy to do that, that it makes us look humble. You go on with God and you come under the work of the cross. And before he's done, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you will rejoice in the fact that you are nothing. It will be your freedom to be nothing. You will rejoice. Thank God, yet not I, but Christ. Christ is my righteousness. I don't need to try to create my own. Christ is my life. I don't need a life that I protect and defend anymore. Christ is all. God has freely given us all things in his Son. Now, unfortunately, the Christian world for the last 2,000 years and more today has been deceived by this counterfeit Christianity, has been deceived by a Christianity without the cross. Really, it's Christ without the cross. And lip service is given to these verses in the Bible, to these doctrines. But as I said, different meanings have been poured in to this other than God's mind. I know a very famous evangelist that's on television. He has his own network, and he calls his message the message of the cross. And if you listen to what he's saying, and I finally found a definition that he gives to Matthew 16, where Jesus says you have to pick up your cross daily. He actually says that what that means is that you have to put your faith in the cross. You have to put your faith in the fact Jesus died for you. My answer to that is that going to lose your life for you? Is that going to bring you into freedom from sin magically? When Jesus said, you've got to pick up your cross daily, he's talking exactly about what Paul is talking about in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. He's talking in Matthew 16 exactly about what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Read it. Does that sound like it's all something that happened and is over and done with? To read those scriptures, to read Galatians 2:20, to read the many references to the present work of the cross, to read all of that and conclude, well, that just means Jesus died for us and we're forgiven and free from the penalty of sin. If you can read that and conclude that, then you need to get down on your knees, because you are bewitched and you are mesmerized and you are deceived by another gospel. It's as plain as day that these things are Christian experiences now in Christ, because Christ is in us. It's not maybe, it's not perhaps, it's not a theory. It is the absolute truth of God. And if you and I want to deny that, then we are under another gospel. How many understand that the Galatians were under another gospel precisely because of their denial of the very things I just mentioned? They weren't under a gospel simply because they thought that they could maintain righteousness by the works of the law. Oh, that was a big part of it. But they were under another gospel because they were denying the cross. They were denying Christ as their life. That's what's behind thinking you can become righteous through the works of the law. Paul said exactly that in Galatians 2:21. Now, I just read there parts of Galatians 2:20. Where Paul is telling them the means by which the Christian life is to be lived. Where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And it really says, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And he adds, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you and I try to maintain our righteousness, if you and I try to do anything to make ourselves into a Christian that we think we ought to be, through our own efforts, thinking that's going to do it, then we are denying the cross. We're denying Christ. We're saying Christ died in vain. Now, you and I would never say that and mean it directly, would we? But see, this is what I meant earlier when I said Christians say a lot of things and believe a lot of things that they quote the Bible about, and they put different meanings and attach different meanings and pour into those things different meanings. I try to make myself righteous through good works. I guarantee you I will not think I'm doing that. If I try to keep a law to maintain my standing before God, if I'm really deceived, I'm not going to think that I'm doing that. I'm not going to say I deny Christ. I'm going to think I'm obeying God. I'm going to say, well, I'm doing this because I love God. Isn't that what every cult says? Isn't that what every legalist on the planet that has ever lived has always said? We have to obey God. We can't live in license. And I'm not trying to maintain my righteousness. Well, all I would suggest is go into any church today and challenge the doctrine that they probably teach there of tithing. And you'll see how quickly legalism pops its ugly head up. No, Paul also said in Galatians 3, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So there's a threefold warning to all of us. If you're under the works of the law as the means of living Christianity, you're under a curse. If you're under works of the law as the means of relationship with God, you're saying Christ died in vain. If you're under the works of the law as your Christianity, you're under another gospel. Because if you're under the works of the law, you are in essence saying, you won't admit this, you won't say it, you might deny it, but you are in essence saying the old man doesn't have to die. We can fix him through law keeping. Read Romans 7. Paul was trying all of that, and his conclusion was, who will deliver it? Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I was, but I am. We carry the old nature. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And the point is that all of this must be replaced with the real thing. We have to recognize exactly what Paul said and what Jesus said. We have to recognize that in Christ, we have to relinquish our self-ownership. We have to relinquish our self-righteousness. We have to relinquish all thought and practice of trying to maintain our standing before God on the basis of anything about us. We have to let God to do whatever it takes to bring us to the place where we are absolutely, joyfully convinced that we are nothing and He is everything. God will do that. He wants to do that more than we want Him to do it. We should pray that prayer. Lord, do what it takes to bring me to the end of this Adam thing, to where I will know that I am crucified with Christ, to where I want to be, and to where I embrace and rejoice in it. That I rejoice in the fact that I have no confidence in the flesh, as Paul said in Philippians 3. Whatever it takes, God, do that. Bring me to the place where I know, yet not I, but Christ. Bring me to the place where it is settled. I have been crucified with Him. That life, that self-ownership, my life is mine, my right to myself, all of that is in the grave. And now all that matters is Christ, Jesus Christ in me, and the fact that I am united with him in resurrection union. Somebody's going to ask, well, what's a life like that look like? Well, it looks holy. And there'll be works, but all of the works thing will be settled. How many understand that if we go on with God, and Paul said it here, the life I now live in the flesh, there's a life to live. How many understand that if we go on with God, we will get to the point where we do good works without even thinking about whether it makes God happy with us? We'll do them because we'll know he already is because of Jesus. We'll do good works because we love God. We'll do good works because it's right to do them. There won't even be in the picture and in the formula, if I can put it that way, the idea that our works are making us righteous or unrighteous. The idea that our works are earning us something from God, here or in the eternal ages. None of that will even be in the picture. We'll do good works because the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, you and I can talk about that till we are blue in the face. But until we get there, we're not really going to see and know. You got to come into an inward realization of Jesus Christ to realize all of these things that emerge from him. Now, that doesn't mean to talk about them and to know the Bible and to see the truth there is wrong. But we've got to go on. Like he said here to the Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What does it mean to obey the truth? You know, he was admonishing them because they were obeying laws to keep righteous. Here, he's not talking about obeying law. He's talking about obeying the truth. And the truth is that your obedience to law can't make you righteous. It can't earn you a thing, because all things are freely given in Christ. Get into business with him. But he said, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, who has brought you into an altered state of spiritual consciousness to where now you think error is truth? To now you are under a gospel and you think you're walking in the truth. To now you're under a curse because you're under the law and you think you're under a blessing. How many see something has happened in their mind and they let it happen because of unbelief and because of a thirst for righteousness of their own? They let it in because of unbelief. He says that in the first chapter. I marvel that you have so quickly removed yourself. You no longer have your faith solely in Christ, but you have Christ plus and all those different hybrid versions of Christianity. So for today, counterfeit Christianity boils down to Christ without the cross. Counterfeit Christianity, Christ without the cross, is at the core and at the basis of pretty much every heresy that has ever been and every false movement that is. True Christianity is that we are crucified with Christ, and the life that we now live is going to be lived experiencing what it means to be crucified with Christ. But the other side of it is, it's going to be lived experiencing what it means to be raised with Christ. And Christ will get to the place where he is able to live through us, and he really wants to live through us to the point where we are actually expressions of him. That's what it really means to be a witness unto Jesus. And so we don't need to be deceived by counterfeit Christianity. We need to just turn to God with our whole heart and ask him to reveal to us the truth about us and our faith or unbelief, no matter what it takes.